Good morning, everyone. We offer a very warm welcome to you this morning, whether you're new to our building or whether you've been coming for years, whether you're here with us in the building or whether you're on Zoom. If this is your first time here, then please make yourself known to me or to one of the stewards, the caretakers on the door and things like that. And we hope that you will come through for coffee and tea and share your stories with us after the service. I'm Mary, I'm one of the church stewards. This morning I'm going to make a special mention of Time and Again, which is being performed by members of our congregation on Saturday evening at 6 p.m. I'm making a note, 6 p.m. because usually we start performances at 7, but we're starting early. So we hope you will join us. This isn't just a performance, but it's an expression of our faith and our mission as a church. It's musicals which have been written by members of the congregation over the past 30 or so years, and it's been a joy to be part of. We hope that you'll take this opportunity to join us, either in the audience or it's still not too late to provide practical support. You could help with, we're changing the staging after the service today. We still need some help with catering, because one of the things about our performances is that fellowship of taking part is just as important as the actual performing. And so we've been serving meals to all those performing and helping as a tech crew. And we need help on Friday evening if anybody has any time to help with that. You can pray for us, for all those taking part. And you can also help us by spreading the word, by inviting people to come along and experience the stories that this church is built on. So we hope to see you on Saturday. This morning, we're really pleased and delighted that our worship is being led by Anna Herriman, who is a local preacher in the Oxford Circuit and a member of our congregation. And Anna also supports the Connection, raising deaf and disability awareness on different committees. So we're really pleased that she's leading our worship today, and I'll now hand over to Anna.
Thank you, Mary. It's a real privilege and a real joy to be here leading your worship. Let us now be still as we prepare to worship God. Rejoice in the Lord, for he called us to be honest with him, offering his forgiveness to teach us the way to go as we make our choices. Let us walk with him in faith. We'll have our first hymn, which is something in the faith 499. The word will be up on the screen if you're using the hymn book, 499. It is a reminder of God's great love for us. So please stand if you're able.
Thank you.
Our flag of aggression is the concert. The yellow is what you say. And I can teach you how to sign it if you are interested. So we've got, and we adore you. So we don't bother with the and, we just say we adore you. So I'm hoping everybody, including the fire, I'm discussing it, everybody can see me. So we adore you is we adore you. I'm going to turn around. So we adore you. Okay. Google, got that? Okay. So let us pray. God of yesterday, today and tomorrow, you give us all we need to thrive. And we adore you. You give us all that we need to be wise. We adore you. You give us more than enough to share. We adore you. You give us the gift of your word. We adore you. Holy Trinity, one God. We adore you. Amen. Amen. Flag of confession. Faithful God, we're sorry for the time when we have what we have didn't satisfy us and we grab at more. We're sorry when we are persuaded to make decisions we know to be wrong. We're sorry for when we are tested and look to our strength and not yours to get through. Forgive us and help us to refocus on you and your abundance. Amen. God of stability and strength, for your understanding of our weaknesses and the generosity of your forgiveness, we give you heartfelt thanks and pledge to look to your Son for guidance to follow in his footsteps and support others going through testing time. In his name and his God. Amen. I'm going to pass over to Mel, who will lead on our all-age activity. So thank you, Mel.
I am now switched on. Maybe I switched it on and then... Oh, I don't know. Anyway, who here this week had pancakes? Did anyone have pancakes? Oh, what did you have on your pancakes? Pardon? Lemon, classic, yes. Bolognese. Good. Oh, Bernays. Oh, I can't hear. But it sounds posh. Anything else? Maple syrup, honey, very nice. I went a bit savoury. I had mushroom and Stilton. Very nice, with some spinach. It's very nice. But there was one, I don't know, those of you who were my age and a bit older, you might remember there used to be an advert that for lemon juice that said, don't forget the pancakes on Jif Lemon Day. And lemon juice is great for pancakes, but I think it's probably not the most important thing. And the pancakes are probably a bit more crucial. But I've been thinking about what's the most important thing for Lent. And then, fitting in probably with the service that might reflect on things like getting distracted by other ideas, I then started thinking about what's the most important thing in lots of different things. So if you'd like to come up and have a look at some pictures, they're going to be on the screen as well, but then you can help choose them because I'm going to lay these ones out. So hopefully some There we go. So I was thinking, what is the most important thing when building, making, creating, choosing, all these things, growing as well? So let's have a look. So I got these answers from a computer. I didn't agree with all of them, so you might not either. But let's see, this is what a computer thinks. So let's have the first clue. The most important thing when something is ensuring structural integrity through proper load distribution and foundation stability to guarantee safety and longevity. What do you think? You think it's a bridge? What did you think? Could be cakes, could be shoes, couldn't it? You want safety anyway. So what do we think? Bridge. Okay, let's have a look. Yes, when building a bridge is ensuring structural integrity. Right, let's look at the next one. Fresh, high-quality ingredients are the foundation for any great cake. You think cake, do we agree? Yes, lovely, let's have a look. When I put the clue in, when I put the sort of search in, I said baking. What's the most important thing when baking a cake? So I'm questioning whether actually an oven is quite important as well. But anyway, they thought, the computer thought, quality ingredients. Okay, next one. Right, now this one is maybe a clue in the fact that I disagreed with this answer. So the most important thing for something is learning to see and observe properly, is what the computer said. And what I said was to stop worrying and just go for it. So what do we think? Shoes could be, might, what's that? Do you think drawing? Let's have a look. Drawing a picture, that's right. I draw the fact 5-year-olds can draw anything. So lovely. And the next one? The most important thing in a something, what's left? Pair of shoes. Is proper fitting comfort? Yes, exactly. Have we got them all? Which one didn't we do? Oh, let's have a look. While many factors contribute to a successful, the most important thing is to get the conditions right, which specifically means ensuring healthy soil and ample sunlight. What do we think? Yeah, lovely. Good, well done. It's interesting that the most important thing for some of these things is definitely not the most important thing for others, because the not worrying and just going for it thing would not be good for building a bridge, would it? So we have to be careful what we do. So lovely. Well, I don't know whether that's helped at all with Lent, but I think probably the most important thing for each of us in Lent is going to be slightly individual, because we all have a different connection with God and the way that we relate to God. But hopefully we're all aiming to keep Jesus at the centre of it all. Giving up chocolate might be good, I wouldn't know, but growing our relationship with Jesus is even better. So let's pray, and while we pray, we're going to use some of the images that we've just looked at. Loving God, as we travel through Lent, may we sink the foundations of our lives deep into the rich soil of your love. May our faith be kept fresh and nourish us. May we become aware of things in society which are an uncomfortable fit with your gospel. And may we be confident to walk in your steps. And in those times when we don't feel good enough, when we know that we have messed up and probably will again, may we be assured of your love for us. Stop worrying and just get on with being your hands working to heal our broken world. Amen. We're going to join together in a song which reminds us of just how amazing Jesus is. King of Kings, Majesty, which is 331 in Singing the Faith.
Thank you, Miles, for leading on this. Let us bless the junior shirt as they leave with the word on the green. The Lord be with you. The choir went out in for us, and it beat out my garden and my guide by David Terry. Thank you. We're going to hear our Bible reading now with the Genesis reading and also the reading from Matthew. So thank you to Mary and David for this.
So Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, and then chapter 3. Verses 1 to 7. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, "You shall not eat from any tree in the garden." The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves.
New Testament reading is from the Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him.
Thank you, Mary and David. Our next hymn helps us to further focus on the theme from our Matthew reading, "Lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us." If you're singing from the hymn book, it's number 238, so please stand if you're able.
Thank you.
How many of you have heard of the phrase, never go shopping when you're hungry? Hoping that might work. But some sort of funny image. So how many of you have actually bought things from the supermarket, bought at home, bought too much, and you've ended up wasting it? I've done it many times. So. I have faced temptation, sometimes giving in and sometimes resisting. But in the 1980s, who remembers this? We had the Commodore 64, which is the one on the left. The other one is the Sinclair Spectrum with the rubber tubes. So when I was growing up, we had the Commodore 64, and we played many computer games. I've got some images. So we've got like Manic Miner. Anybody know that game? No? We had Frogger, trying to get the frogs across the busy road and then across the dumb river. Pac-Man, the one on the top right corner, sort of thing with the ghost. And then Paperboy. Paperboy was my favourite one with the bike throwing the newspaper and then ending up in the BMX bike park. These games were highly addictive. I was at school. I was in Europe, well, it was throughout my secondary school years actually, but we had homework. What did I prefer to do? Play computer games, like a pet rabbit. I often had that on my lap while I sat with the joystick playing all the computer games. But it did upset my grades. So when it came to exams, my grades just went down. But I learned my lesson in time for my GCSEs. Homework first before computer games. I've still got the Commodore 64 computer. It's here in Oxford, in my loft, together with the case full of tape of all the computer games, plus many more. Advertising is everywhere. We have Dan as well, so we have to be really careful what is real advertising, what isn't. Recently, I had a salesman come to my front door from sort of mobile provider, like broadband or mobile phone company, and they were urging me to switch to their broadband, even though I have just upgraded to 4 fibre. But they wanted me to go with them. Oh no, ours is better. And then while he was at my front door, he was saying to me, oh, this is the website you need to go on to. If you need to click on this link, you will see that our deal is much better than the one you've just upgraded to. But his insistence on making me look at my phone on this website, knowing there's a lot of damned about, it made me feel very uneasy. I had an interpreter with me, luckily, so I was able to stand firm, politely decline, and he eventually moves on. But what about AI? I'm on Facebook, there's so many fake images and videos. How do we know this is true, this is not? I have concerns, and I'm sure you all feel the same. So today, both our readings are great examples of temptation. The Oxford Dictionary defines temptation as a desire to do something often wrong or unwise. Jesus' time in the wilderness, tested by the devil, demonstrated his identity as the Son of God and his ability to resist temptation. God seeks obedience from his people. Humanity is offered a never chance, and in times of testing, we should remain alert. Satan is described as a fallen angel, opposes those who follow God by offering temptation to divide us from God's path. He even tried to hasten Jesus' declaration of kinship, but would have undermined Jesus' mission to offer salvation. Jesus' temptation shows his humanity, confirms his mission, and proves his sinlessness. It reminds us that while temptation is not sinful, giving in is. Remembering his distinction helps us to resist it. Jesus faced temptation in several times in our reading. It wasn't in the temple, it wasn't at his baptism, but in the wilderness, where he was most vulnerable. He was tired, he was weak, alone, and hungry. Temptation often comes at a time of weakness or stress, but it can also arise from our strength, making us prone to pride. When we get these challenges, we should remain vigilant. The devil's temptation focuses on three crucial areas. I think I've gone in the wrong place. Sorry, Sam. Okay, so three different areas of temptation. First one is physical needs and desires. Second one is a possession. And the third one is pride. From our reading, we've got chapter 4, verse 3. It says, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. After fasting for 40 days, Jesus resisted his divine power. He resisted using his divine power to satisfy his hunger. But it wasn't the right time. So food and hunger, that's normal, it's natural. But stealing, things like stealing, is not acceptable. Many desires are good, but it needs to be satisfied properly and at the right time. Jesus resisted the devil's temptation by knowing and obeying Scripture. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, called God's word as a sword for spiritual combat. Simply memorizing verses is not enough. We must follow them. Possession and power. The temple served as the religious center of the Jewish nation and was expected to be the Messiah's arrival point. Herod the Great renovated it to win favor with the Jews. Satan used scripture to tempt Jesus, just like people sometimes use Bible verses to justify questionable actions. Studying the Bible in context prevents misinterpretation. His claim to give Jesus control over nations was likely false, since God is the true ruler. Satan's goal was to distract Jesus from his mission by offering worldly power. Another verse from Matthew. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. The devil offered the whole world to Jesus if Jesus would only kneel down and worship him. Today, the devil offered us the world by trying to entice us with materialism and power. We can resist temptation the same way that Jesus did. If you find yourself craving something the world offers, quote Jesus' word to the devil that we must worship the Lord our God and only him. How many of you have been watching The Traitors on TV? In the final series, in the final of the series 4, there were 3 people left. 1, a faithful, Jack, and 2 traitors, Stephen and Rachel. Stephen knew that Jack would vote for Rachel to be banished, as he was suspicious of her. The winning prize money was £95,750. Quite a lot. Stephen clearly had a choice. He could have put Rachel down on the boat and she would have been out, and being the only traitor left, he would have taken all the money. But he didn't. He put Jack's name down, so he was out, and himself and Rachel shared the money between them. So I thought that is very generous. Tried. We have not sinned, but until we give in to temptation. To resist temptation, then we must do these 3 things. Pray for strength to resist. Run, sometimes, literally. Say no when we're confronted with what we know is wrong. Sin spreads easily, like pollution contaminating a river. Look at what we're seeing regularly in the news and so on. Guilt from sin to prompt us to acknowledge mistakes, seek forgiveness, and make amends. Got 3 questions to ask you to ponder. What do you think about the devil in the desert in the gospel? 1. 2. How do we know what went on there if there was only Jesus and the devil there? 2. 3. Is this a story with the truth embedded, or do we think that Jesus confided to the disciples later in his ministry? In summary, we have choices and we must consider their consequences. Jesus demonstrated the right way to act. As we grow closer to God, temptation may increase, especially when we are alone. I've got a quote to come up in a minute by Martin Luther. And he says, I cannot prevent birds from flying over my head, but I can stop them from building a nest in my hair. Well, this reminds us that while we cannot avoid temptation, we can prevent it from taking hold. Staying grounded in God's word and maintaining our relationship with God help us to resist temptation. Messengers are called to respond to God's love, practice discipleship, worship, and serve both local communities and the world. Go inland, reflect on your own wilderness and its challenges. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia. Do the Spirit and Christ's sacrifice. Victory over sin and death is possible. Let us give thanks for this freedom. Amen. Our next hymn is, of course, Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Help us reflect on the message we just heard. And it's great to do this one in round, but I think Keith is gonna take the lead. Yeah, and if you're using the hymn book, it's number 254 in Feeling the Faith. So please stand if you're comfortable. So.
You probably know what I'm going to say if you've been here before, but there may be someone who hasn't been here before. We sing this as a canon. We call you the organ side, and we say organ side first. And that's what we see on the screen when we start. So when we get to the end of the first verse, would you please carry on with the Alleluias and you sing the first verse again? Then the next slide looks like this. So your words are in yellow and your words are in white. And with any luck, we get to the end and we both sing Alleluia at the same time, and Kirsty and I will know when to stop. Thank you very much. Please stand.
Again, everybody in this, and thank you, Keith and Kirsty, for being on there. So now we'll take the offering. So thank you. we give you these gifts to say thank you for showing us the way that is holy and true. May you use this gift to help us serve your purpose. Amen. We come now to our prayer of intercession. So we continue to include in our prayer of intercession today prayers as part of the 6-week campaign Voices for Haiti to focus on the needs of those in Haiti and the work of the Methodist Church over there. When I say the word up on the screen, God, our strength and hope, please respond with, hear our prayer. So let us pray. God of all nations, we observe corruption in leadership and power, including the recent news about Trump tariffs and how that's going to impact countries. Support those with integrity and help us to uphold justice. We also ask for guidance for Haiti district leaders and members as they serve their community. God, our strength and hope, hear our prayer. Justice seeking God, we ask for compassion and justice for those living amid war and conflict, especially those in Haiti where there's violence, Ukraine, especially this week as it's been 4 years since the war started on Tuesday, Sudan, Gaza and Myanmar. As tensions grow between national pride and nationalism, let the Winter Olympics that has just happened, we've got the closing ceremony tonight, remind us to uphold cooperation, unity and diversity. God, our strength and hope, hear our prayer. Caring God, the UK unemployment hit a 5-year high this last week, with growing wage growth making it harder for people to meet basic needs. Let us give thanks to those who offer food, shelter, guidance and mental health support. God, our strength and hope, hear our prayer. Comforting God, we pray for those who are ill, anxious, or grieving. May your love, peace, and hope be with them. God, our strength and hope, hear our prayer. Faithful God, we pray for personal needs, trusting that you hear us. We also pray for our church, especially as we prepare and present the Time and Again concert next Saturday, and for our ongoing work in the community. God, our strength and hope, hear our prayer. Amen. We now say the prayer using the word that Jesus gave us, in whatever language you prefer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. And give the power and the glory of you, now and forever. Amen. Just before we are sent out, let us sing the last hymn, Hear the Call of the Kingdom. King of Heaven, we will answer the call, we will follow, bringing hope to the world. In the hymn book number 407, please stand if you're able. go out to the world, may God the Father be with us in the choices we make. May Jesus the Son guide our footsteps. May the Spirit of life strengthen our body, soul and mind, and keep focus on what is holy. Thank you that you are with us always. Amen. We've got the choir and other members of the congregation who are involved in the Time and Again concert happening Saturday, which you have heard about at the beginning of the service. They're going to be singing Treasures in Heaven. I feel there's a really good link between the word of that song and the message of the service. So enjoy.